Congregation, please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The word of the Lord I'd lay upon your hearts this Mission Festival Sunday comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 35 as follows. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So far, God's holy word. Please be seated. In the name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has bidden us to preach the gospel to all creation, to your fellow redeemed, and greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ of Trinity Lutheran in Spokane, Washington. Warranties are something that are quite common these days. I'm sure you all know that. If you buy a car, you get a 100,000-mile warranty. And so if your car breaks down within 100,000 miles of driving it, you're guaranteed free repairs. If you buy a computer, usually comes with a 2-year warranty that says if anything happens to it in that 2-year period after purchase, the manufacturer will either fix or replace it. Actually, when I was buying hiking gear a few years ago now, I was surprised to find that the outlet I was purchasing from had a lifetime guarantee for all of their products. If at any time, for any reason, I was unsatisfied with any of my purchases, I could simply bring that stuff back to the store and they would either replace it or give me a full refund. Now, I've often wondered how a store like that could make any money, but it's a reassuring claim, isn't it? This lifetime guarantee. There's no risk involved whatsoever, and so I'm inclined from the get-go to believe that these have to be some pretty high-quality products before I ever even use them. Company's so sure that you're going to be satisfied with their product that they guarantee it for the rest of your earthly days. That's quite the claim. What if I told you there was an even bigger guarantee than that? One that instills confidence and applies it to a far superior product than any car or laptop or hiking material? What if I told you that? I don't think a single person here would be surprised, actually, because you have already come and seen what God's word offers you. You have looked over the promises, the prophecies. You have seen the product. And as our epistle lesson for today said, you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. What a wonderful comfort we have for ourselves then, and what a wonderful message is ours to share. And so this Mission Festival weekend, we'll be taking a look at God's come and see guarantee. He offers this guarantee to you, and then he offers it through you. May the Spirit grant us wisdom in our meditation and boldness to preach this guarantee to others. Now, our text this weekend, as chapter 1 indicates, comes from the beginning of John's Gospel when, you guessed it, Jesus was just starting his ministry. He'd been baptized by John the Baptist just the previous day, and the forerunner of the Messiah, John, doubles down on what was made abundantly clear to him and all the observers of Jesus' baptism when he sees Jesus walking by and he points to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we read that two of John's disciples literally started following him. When the Bible says that they followed Jesus here, they didn't immediately dive right into being his disciples and hearing his teachings. Rather, they were just physically, literally following him around town apprehensively at this point. Could this be the Lord's anointed? Could this be the Messiah, this carpenter's son? Jesus turns and asks them, "What do you seek?" That's a pretty big question, isn't it? What were these men after in following Christ? Did they expect, as many of the Jews did, that the Messiah would come and deliver them from their Roman oppressors? Were they seeking a good moral teacher who would help them to be the best version of themselves? Were they perhaps hoping for some extraordinary spiritual experience? Maybe a miracle or something else? Were they seeking wealth or fame? Now, unfortunately, these are the things that many people in this world are looking for in following Christ. And unfortunately, there are many churches that are all too happy to offer these promises that God never promises in his word to his people. Christ as the defender of our nation, who will never allow evil to befall America. Christ as the man who does little more than set a good example for us to follow. Christ as the doting benefactor who wants nothing more than to stuff your wallet. What do you seek in Christ? Do you seek a Savior who is there to help you out in a pinch, but who otherwise just leaves you alone to do your own thing? Do you seek someone who's there to pat you on the back for doing such a good job at being a Christian? Do you seek someone who is there to back you up, to show just how right you are and how wrong everyone else is? These are the temptations that we face as Christians. To think not that Christ calls us, but that we call Christ when we need him and when it's convenient. That Christ owes us his service and not the other way around. Now, these two disciples that were following Jesus, Andrew and John, we're told, were seeking what they were seeking in following Jesus. We're not told because they actually answered Jesus' question with another question. They asked, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Now, it's worth noting that the Greek, the original Greek in verse 39 of our text, could well be translated, "Come and see for yourself." When the disciples went to where Jesus was staying, Jesus made his role as Messiah abundantly clear through his words and through his actions. Jesus called them into faith to be his disciples. And in fact, this was such a life-changing event for John, who writes this account, that he remembers exactly the time of day when this meeting occurred, the very hour that they came and learned exactly who Jesus was and what he was about. And he calls you as well. He offers you this come and see guarantee. Now, whether you were raised in the faith or came to faith later, or you're still sitting here today looking for answers, God offers you. He invites you to come and see. When the temptations of the world and your own sinful heart lead you to doubt, Jesus calls to you, come and see. Look at the prophecies fulfilled. Look at the promises kept. Look at the promises that he is still keeping to you each and every day. Look at all the blessings he's bestowed upon you. Look behind you at the winding path of your life and all those places where you strayed from God and he gently rebuked you, chastised you, and returned you to him. Where you could not walk one step further, and so Jesus simply carried you. Look at the power of God's word in your heart, which has created in you a clean heart to do his will, to bear that easy burden of Christ's forgiveness. Come and see who Jesus is. Come and see what he has done. Come and see how Jesus was born true God and true man, how he lived his life in perfect obedience to the will of his Father. Come and see how he carried out his Father's will in humble obedience, while still in Gethsemane asking that this cup of suffering might pass by him, and yet drinking that cup of suffering for our sakes. Come and see your Savior nailed to a cross. Behold your King. And then heed the invitation of the angels at the tomb that Easter morning. He is not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see the empty tomb, which is recorded for us in Scripture and attested to by many infallible proofs. For these things were not done in secret. They did not happen in a corner. Our redemption, the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, they were done openly so that the whole world, so that you and I could come and see. Just as the tomb was empty, so too have our sins vanished, washed away in Christ's blood. Come and see God's guarantee to you, as we read in our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And again in our epistle lesson, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God has offered his come and see guarantee to you, to taste and see that the Lord is gracious, and now he offers it through you as his witnesses. Now, when Andrew had gone to where Jesus was staying, as we read in our text, and heard his words, the first thing he did was run to tell his brother, Peter, come and see, we have found the Messiah. Following day, Jesus goes to Philip and says, the following day, Jesus called Philip, who then went and told Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. But Nathanael was skeptical. He had pretty good reason to be, actually, in this day and age that Jesus came into. There were many false messiahs parading around, and it had been 400 years since the Lord had last sent a prophet to Israel. And that now the Messiah is going to come from, of all places, Nazareth? That tiny backwater village? Surely the Messiah would come from somewhere a little bit more prestigious than that, perhaps Jerusalem. And so Philip and Nathanael faced a situation that we are all familiar with, skepticism. How are we to convince people that Jesus is Lord? What do I say in order to change this person's doubt into faith? Well, I have great news for you if you've ever worried about that. You don't have to do any of those things, nor can you change hearts. Take a page from Philip's book. Philip said to him, come and see. Come and see who Jesus is, what he says, what he does. Come and see in the word the forgiveness for all of your sins. Though they are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come and see the peace which surpasses all understanding, even in such uncertain times as these we live in. Now, we'd be remiss this mission festival if we did not take a look at the Apostle Paul's approach to mission work. Arguably one of, if not the greatest missionary of all time, Paul went about proclaiming Christ in this way, recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And again, he writes in his second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You and I are merely clay pots, cracked and dried and ugly. There was nothing special about the 12 disciples that made Jesus call them. And there's nothing inherently special about any one of us that God offers us this come and see guarantee and bids us to share that guarantee with others. Rather, it is the message that we carry, which is life-giving water to a sin-parched desert. It is revival to those who are perishing. It is sight to the blind and forgiveness for all. Don't believe me? Come and see. God offers this guarantee to others through you. May we then be emboldened by the Holy Spirit to extend this invitation to come and see to family and friends, to neighbors and co-workers, acquaintances and strangers alike, because there are so many products out there on the market today in our world that come with a satisfaction guarantee, that come with one of those great warranties, but none like the gospel. None, not one, like God's come and see guarantee. He offers it to each one of you to calm your fears, to assuage your doubts, and to assure you of your forgiveness in him, and then he offers it through you so that the whole world might come and see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and our Savior from sin. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In his saving name, amen. Please rise. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.